Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, reading verse 2. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea." Heavenly Father, once again, we open your precious word. Please speak to our hearts today. Please illuminate our understanding, enlighten it as Paul prayed, and please help the people. Please comfort the people. Please speak to the people and encourage them. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, amen. Daniel said he saw in his vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. God speaking to another prophet, the Apostle John. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. "And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." Now these two passages I've read, in Daniel and in Revelation, several things are mentioned, and I'll try to explain most of them today. And I want to apologize. If it sounds like I'm having a hard time breathing, it's because I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm very congested today as I record. And I've probably had this affliction since I was a child. And if you would consider praying for me, I'd very much appreciate it. But Daniel said he saw a great sea. And John here in Revelation, it says, "The waters which thou sawest." A sea and waters. And this verse here in Revelation gives an interpretation of the symbol of the sea. And it says, "The sea or the waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." In other words, he's talking about the population of the world. At this point, in 2010, there's something like, 6.5 billion people that live on the earth. But then it mentions 10 horns, which thou sawest upon the beast. And it mentions the whore of Babylon, and I won't talk about that today. But these 10 horns, we'll see in just a minute. Flipping back to Daniel chapter 7, it says in verse 1, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters." I said last time, and probably several times, that in the book of Daniel we see God giving a series of dreams or visions to the prophet. But that these visions and dreams pretty much all said the same thing. In chapter 2, and again, I know I've mentioned this several times, but I believe that chapter 2 is the key to the book of Daniel. It's the key to the book of Revelation. It's the key to all prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted it. But what the king saw was an image or a statue that was made of several different kinds of materials. First the head of gold, then the breast and arms of silver, then the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet part iron and part clay. Then the vision went on and said that a stone from heaven, and it says, cut out without hands. In other words, a stone from heaven that man had nothing to do with. This stone smote the image on the feet, and the entire image crumbled down upon itself. Then a wind came from heaven and blew the dust or the chaff away. Then the stone increased in size and filled the whole earth. And we said that that stone was Christ, and that this vision of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw was a portrait of history from the time of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar up until now and the future beyond. One day, Christ is coming back, and I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and throws down all governments, puts down all dictators, and puts down all unrighteousness, all crime, all sickness, all disease, all everything that is wrong with the earth. Jesus Christ is King. He will come to set up His kingdom, and His righteousness will reign. Again, this one dream, one vision, or whatever, that Nebuchadnezzar had is the key to all end times Bible prophecy. But Daniel says in verse 3 that four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. And he describes the four beasts. In verse 4, the first beast was like a lion. In verse 5, like a bear. In verse 6, it mentions a leopard. And in verse 7, a nondescript beast, but dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. But this first beast, the lion, it corresponds to the head of gold. In other words, this beast is a description of the kingdom of Babylon, just as the head of gold symbolized Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. But in Daniel chapter 2, there's just one sentence that there was a head of gold and that Nebuchadnezzar was it. But in this chapter, we find a little bit more information. And that's generally the form of these successive visions or dreams that Daniel has. It's the same topic. It's the same kingdoms that are described. But each time they're described, there's more information given. But let's look at the description. It says, the first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And if you think about the life of Nebuchadnezzar, this verse describes him. The beast is a lion. We generally think of a lion as the king of the forest. And many kings here on earth, on their throne, they'll have carved into the throne an image or a statue of male lions. Again, it's a symbol of power and of kingdom. But it says that the lion had eagle's wings. But then it says that the wings were plucked. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was taken from him, and he lost his mind, and he spent, I believe it was 7 years, eating grass like an ox. But then his understanding returned to him, and his throne was returned to him. And from that day forward, he blessed the God of heaven. But look at the description of this lion. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, he had the heart and the mind of an ox, but God gave him a man's heart again. the next beast in verse 5 of this chapter. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. And again, please forgive me, I'm very congested, it's very hard for me to breathe, and I know that the audio quality as you're listening is not very good, and that's my fault, but please pray for me. But the breast and arms of silver that Nebuchadnezzar saw, we said corresponded to the Medes and the Persians. And we studied how Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar was slain, and his kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians. The third beast, in verse 6, And after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. A lion is known as the king of the jungle. A bear is a very strong animal, but not king. And a leopard, it's not necessarily strong, and it's certainly not king. But a leopard is one of the fastest animals on the earth. But if you take a leopard, a very fast animal, and you put four wings on the back of it, then you've got, let's say, a turbocharged leopard. In other words, an extremely fast animal. But it says that this leopard had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Nebuchadnezzar's belly and thighs of brass symbolized the Grecian Empire, or the Kingdom of Greece. And we know from history that the one that started the Grecian Empire was Alexander the Great, and his rise to power was very rapid. The area of land that he conquered and the different nations that he conquered, he did so very quickly. And that is pictured in this verse, a leopard with wings on its back. But after Alexander's death, his kingdom was split into four parts. I believe his sons divvied up what was there or something. But it says that this leopard had four heads. And I believe that this symbolizes that Alexander's kingdom was split into four parts. But in verse 7, Daniel says, After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. At the beginning of the program, we looked at Revelation chapter 17, where God gives an interpretation of the symbol, the sea. And it says, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. But then the next verse said, And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, etc. And this obviously is referring to this beast I just read about, again, back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. This nondescript beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, with great iron teeth, it says. But it had 10 horns. I've made the statement before that if you want to understand the book of Revelation, it's important first to understand the book of Daniel. Daniel and Revelation go together and complement one another. Now I'd like to say that one very effective way of studying the Word of God is to compare one passage to another. As we see, God gives this description of this fourth beast in Daniel and also in the book of Revelation. And when you're studying a topic, In this case, we're studying end times prophecy. It's necessary, I believe, to look at all of the scriptures that deal with the topic. It's easy to take, let's say, the book of Daniel and only look at that and come up with what we think is the interpretation or the understanding. But if we fail to look at Revelation, then we get a limited picture. And many cults have gone astray because they looked at one verse or one passage and didn't want to look at some other passage that gave more understanding. We're told to rightly divide the Word of God. We're told to be good Bereans. You remember the Bereans. Berea was a town in the book of Acts that Paul went to and preached the gospel. And the people believed. They heard the Word of God and they believed. But then they said, "Paul, man, that was a fantastic sermon, and we believe. But would you do us a favor? Would you show us the books you're reading out of? We'd like to get a copy for ourselves. We want to study for ourselves to make sure that what you're telling us is the truth." And I want to say, as you're listening to me today, don't take one single word I say just because I said it. You should go yourself to read these passages. You should check me out. You should back-check everything I say, or everything your pastor says, or someone on TV that you listen to. You should take the Word of God yourself. You have a copy. You probably have 3 copies at home. Check it yourself. Make sure that the preacher or the teacher is telling you the truth. Don't take his word for it. Don't take your denomination's word for it. Check it out yourself. Because really, if you have 3 Bibles at home, you have no excuse if you find yourself misled by some preacher. Now, in my studies, as I'm trying to understand what these passages say, and I've been through them before, I've studied these passages for a long time, for a number of years, on and off. But in going over it again, trying to make sure that I have the right understanding, it's very hard for me to resist the temptation to reach for some commentary. And while I could do that, I could grab Matthew Henry or some other commentator and see what they have to say. I'm going to try my hardest to limit myself to studying only the Bible and doing what I just showed you, comparing one verse to another, comparing one book to another, and trying to search out and get the full meaning from the Word of God. Daniel starts out here in verse 2, talking about a great sea. But then we flipped over to Revelation, and John is given the interpretation of the symbol of the sea, that being people, or the population of the earth. Commentaries are useful, and honestly, if you're listening to me now, I'm a commentator. I'm trying to tell you what the book says. Obviously, we need teachers. We need to study behind and read behind people that have more knowledge than we do. But my goal as we study this book is to search out what the Bible says about itself. Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go two blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go three blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutte, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back.
Lord, take me back to the old landmark.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.